Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Dentistry Unmasked. My name is David Rice. I'm the chief editor at Dentistry IQ with always.
Hey everyone, Pam Maragliano-Muniz, chief editor at Dental Economics. You know, there's some things I don't like in this world, and I don't like fake stuff. Like maybe fake cheese, like so it's not dairy, but I feel like
fake eyelashes.
Don't throw shade, David. Yes, I like, okay, fine. I do like fake eyelashes. Now you threw me. So no, I'm thinking about like things that are trying to be what they're not. So like, yeah. I feel like if you don't want to buy a Gucci bag, don't buy like a fake Gucci bag. Or if you want to have this, don't put it off like it's that. Like, yes, eyelashes are fake, whatever. I admit it all day. Oh, by the way, since we're here, my hair is probably gray too. Thanks, David. But anyway.
Hey, nothing real going on up top there. So, you know.
So anyway, you know, something's come up, which is so weird, I think, in dentistry. And I feel like it's only been kind of recently that this has been happening. And it's like imposter CE. And we have a guest who this happened to. And I just want to hear the whole story. So Steve Schiffenhaus, welcome.
Hi. Well, I just got compared to a Gucci bag, so I don't know if there's going to be any going up from here. So I appreciate that.
Oh, I should have started with Birkin then. Good.
No, Dior would be my preference, but you know.
Okay. Well, see, we do this stuff off the cuff. If I had to do it again, I would say Dior, but you're good enough for a Dior. We'll call you that too.
Fair enough. How's it going? I appreciate you guys inviting me on. I thought it was very interesting and sweet you guys were that concerned that you wanted to talk about it, but you know, before we started recording, as you mentioned, I'm just one of many people this is affecting, not just the educators but potential buyers. So I think just bringing awareness to it is a good thing.
I think so too. So I don't know, David, I'm like, I just want to sit back. I want to hear the story. I mean, this is crazy. Okay.
Yeah,
so I like to tell stories. I got to be careful because I don't want to go on too much. So you guys just like poke me. Okay. So the Bard Institute started in 2020. I first launched, essentially what I was trying to do was take an in-person course, like a two-day in-person hands-on, and make it essentially online. I was kind of inspired by some of Spear Online, some of Bob Winter's videos, because he has some really good prep demo videos. So there's science and didactic, but I recorded a ton of hands-on, like various different ways to prep, narrated, bonding, case reviews, and it started out as about 18 credits. So especially during the pandemic, it was a really great way to try to simulate hands-on training without actually putting your hands on something. So it was very, very successful because I had originally planned to do an in-person course, but I shot the online, and now I have an in-person course that's really going well. I mean, I'm doing it every other month now, and it's essentially a recorded version of the in-person. So I knew when I was doing it that, you know, there's no way to stop piracy. Like I knew that, you know, maybe somebody that's a dental student might buy the course and then screen record it and then give it to their friends. I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. And I had friends early on talk to me about that. Like, aren't you worried about piracy or the thing getting stolen? And I said, it's like selling fruit. You know, at some point, some of the fruit's going to spoil. It's spoilage. Like there's just certain parts of business you just have to accept certain losses on. So I expected, you know, maybe people in third world countries where the dollar is not strong to pool together and multiple people, you know, one person buy it, the other person record it, or someone record it and send it to a friend, like that kind of stuff I accepted. What's really crazy about what's going on is that, and I'm not the only educator this happened to, is that they're full on recording every lecture and then copying all the text, putting it on their own website, and then selling it. And like, again, I'm not the only one. This has happened to multiple people. That's a whole nother level. And a level even beyond that is that they're advertising it with paid Facebook, Instagram, or if you want to be more specific, Meta ads. And you're having these Meta ads from these imposters using our pictures to sell. I mean, it's real CE in the sense that it's the real videos, but it's not accredited. And who knows what people are going to do with these, your personal information, your credit card information. So to back up a little bit, in terms of the story of what happened to me, I had about 8 months ago, Some friends in Europe reach out to me and they said, hey, we're part of this Telegram group that I think gives away a lot of like, I don't know, like digital copies of books for free and stuff like that. And they said, we're about to get the Bard course and we're going to sell it for like $200 or something. And the course at the time, I think was 2,500. Now it's 3,000. So it's quite a deal. And they're like, hey, keep your eye out for someone who's going to register and then steal it. And I'm like, you know, how am I going to vet somebody that's registering for my course and be like, hey, you're from Ukraine. No soup for you. Like, it's not, you know. So I was like, okay, I'll keep my eye out for it, but there's really not a whole lot I can do. There's a guy who I really love in, actually speaking of Ukraine, Maxim Belgrad, and he has a lot of online videos and he sells a ton. And I bought one of his courses and it was crazy because when I bought it, it was like, you have to put in your WhatsApp phone number and then we're going to send you a special link. And then it was like three steps of verification. I had to go through this like WhatsApp link. I'm like, this is weird. Like, this is crazy. I went through the WhatsApp link and then I finally got like my access to it. And when I was watching his videos, it showed my name at the bottom of the video. And I think it was a layer of security so that if I screen recorded the video and like sold it myself, they'd know it was Steve Schiffenhaus. Now, I'm in the United States. We have a lot of litigation, at least I thought here. But if someone in Iraq is doing it and I see their name, what am I going to do about it? Like, how am I going to go after someone in Iraq? I'm not like a Green Beret. So I don't know. And that's, and so I bring up Iraq for a reason. So they put it on my radar. And then about 4 months later, they said, you know, we've got it and, you know, pay $200 and you can have it. And my friends were all pissed for me. And I said, again, I found out it's a group in Iraq. I don't really know. It's on Telegram. Like I don't really know what I can do. And then it escalated. So then this summer, someone sent me a screenshot and said, hey dude, this Instagram account is selling your course. I'm like, what? It's like Lazo Bookstore or something is the account. And I go in there and they have an Instagram post that says, you know, Bard Institute, you know, purchase on Telegram. And I'm like, oh, I think this is like those Iraq guys that stole it. And if they're not actually from Iraq, no besmirching to the Iraqi people. I have Iraqi friends. They're amazing people. So I reported it to Facebook. I go, this is, you know, fake. It's impersonation. So Instagram's response was, okay, we'll hide it from your profile feed. I'm not kidding. So like, I wanted to go report it again, but I can't see it. It's all blurred out. Like I report, I'm like, hey, this is fake, stolen content. That was it. So I was like, all right, whatever. It's just the same version of the same thing, the stupid Telegram thing, whatever. Then last month, things got out of control. I had someone send me a direct message with like a Facebook ad that had my picture on it, had all the writing. It was actually a really nice looking ad. I'm like, damn it, I wish I had thought of that. But it was a really nice looking ad with the AGD Pace logo on it saying, you know, approved CE, 18 credits, 90% off, buy the Bard overlay course. And I was like, are you serious? And I got 10 messages that day. They must have spent like 10 grand on ad spend. I mean, the amount, almost every dentist I know on the planet sent me a DM saying they got the ad. And a lot of them said they saw it like 4 or 5 times a day. It was nuts. So I went to the site and I mean, they were really good. I mean, they went to like my website and they downloaded all the course information. They actually found a really good video I had posted like 2 years ago and used that as like a promo video. I'm like, damn it, like, these guys are good. So they had a really nice salesy page. But when I looked at their website, they had Pascal Manier. They had someone I love, Didier Dicci. So international guys, Manier is American. I saw Ed McLaren on there. All sorts of implant guys. I think Implant Ninja is an account. They got him. I mean, everybody is on there. I think me and Manier are two guys that they're advertising a lot, which again, a lot of people are like, you should be complimented. Like they spent 10 grand on you, not anybody else to advertise. So I mean, I guess it's cool that, you know, they think I'm that famous that I'm one of the lead people and I'm next to Manier, but it's also disgusting at the same time. And it's creepy. It's really creepy. Someone's taking my image and passing it all over the place. So I'm going to take a break there because that kind of brings us up to speed and you guys can ask some more questions.
So did they, so one thing I saw the ad, I got the ad as well. And so they changed your first name. And so
that's hilarious. I know what that's about. And what's really funny is So there's three theories on this that people gave me, which was really funny. And I think I know, I don't officially know why, because I haven't talked to these dirtbags. But the first theory was that I do biomimetic dentistry, and David Allman is very famous for biomimetic dentistry. So they were trying to combine David Allman with Steve Schiffenhaus and made it David Schiffenhaus. So some people joked about that, that that's what they thought they were doing. Other people thought probably what you're thinking is they just changed the name slightly so it wasn't real impersonation. But I actually think I know the third reason, which is why they did it. For some reason, when they made my new website for my practice, when you click the about, if you Google search like Dr. Steve Schiffenhaus, in the Google menu, the title of the page for about Dr. Steve Schiffenhaus says David Schiffenhaus on it. I don't know why, but if you go into the page, it has all my correct names and all that. But I think for some reason, when they created the page in WordPress or whatever, they screwed up and called it David Schiffenhaus. So I think these guys went and looked up info about me and for some reason pulled the David from there. That's my theory. I don't know why. You could be right that they changed it for some weird impersonation, non-impersonation thing, or really it could be the Matrix thing of David Allman and Steve Schiffenhaus. I don't know.
I thought it was like the Muppets and the Moppets, you know? Like,
yeah, no, I know. Like Fior, or, you know, like a Fucci or a Folex. Like, yeah, no, I'm with you. That's what people are thinking. Yeah.
That is crazy. So, okay. So I see this from like two different perspectives. So from you as the educator, you should be responsible for and in participating with all aspects of your own CE. So I want to take that and I want to put that on the shelf for just one second. If I'm a dentist who's like, oh, sweet, a deal. I like this guy. I follow him on Instagram. His cases look legit. I want to learn how to do things the way he does, but I can see I can do this for a deal. That's okay. I guess I see why somebody might do that. But can they even get CE for that? Is that CE real too? So it's sort of like it's taken from you, but can this organization even award actual CE? So are
no
like
way,
even
if it'd be a violation.
Okay, so then basically you're spending $200 instead of $3,000 to get this level of education, which, I mean, great, you learn it or whatever, but you're not even getting credit for CE on that. So it's just not legit.
No. So what's interesting, and when I first launched the Bard Institute, I did it, I think the first year without CE, and it was quite successful. So I put dental CE in two categories. And I also, I guess, I didn't learn this anywhere, but when I think of potential customers, clients, students, whatever you want to call it, I put them in a couple different categories. There's people that want to take CE because they're like, I want to learn how to do that. That is freaking awesome. And I'll fly to Europe and not get credit if I have to. That's something I need to learn how to do. And I'm passionate about it. Those people getting accreditation, whatever, doesn't matter. There's other people that are like, hey, I have a limited CE budget each year and I need to use that wisely because I want to make sure that I can re-up my licensing. And so I'm going to take something that checks both boxes. It's something that I'm passionate about and want to learn, and it gets me CE for my license. That's the broad middle category, I would say. And then there's a third category, which is, oh crap, I got 6 months left. All right, I'll just go take a CE course to fill the thing out. Those people are not going to take my CE. The people in the middle and the other category are. You'd be shocked how many people are in that other category where it's, I don't care about the CE credits. I want to learn this thing. And I wouldn't say they're larger than the middle group, but they're chunkier than you would think. So if I lost my accreditation tomorrow, I don't actually think me personally, I would take that much of a financial hit. I'd take a financial hit. It might be a third, it might be a half of my revenue, but I don't think it would be more than half. So there is going to be a chunk of the population that's going to go, I don't care about the CE. I get to learn how to do overlays and onlays and advanced adhesion for $200, which brings up your next concern that you mentioned off air that I know you're going to talk about, which is, do you really want to give your payment and personal information to a bunch of pirates? Does that seem like a good decision? So that's the other concern, is that I don't know what these people's intentions are, but they're totally comfortable stealing someone's stuff and reselling it. Kind of like the mafia. I mean, that's what they do. They take stuff out of the back of a truck and they sell it for cheap somewhere else. That's what they do. So are these criminals really somebody that you're comfortable giving your information to? I think is might be a bigger concern than the CE. But yeah, if you're in that middle or other category where like it's important to get the CE, yeah, you're screwed. They're not accredited. You're not getting any CE.
And I would imagine the CE that you do offer, they get access to you, right? Like they can talk to you and ask you questions. And so when they talk to David Schiffenhaus, they're not getting him. Who are they getting?
No, they're not getting David Schiffenhaus. And then if they have any sort of issues that they need to follow up on and they reach out to me and I'm like, I don't know who you are. Oh, well, I bought the fake one. I'm like, I'm sorry, but you know, yes, like you said, you don't have access to me. So, and also the other thing is like, if someone does like an online, and they want to go do the in-person, I'll offer them some sort of a discount because the things are expensive. You're not getting that if you bought the fake thing. So yeah, it's not access to me. The other really cool thing that I do with my online site, not that this is supposed to be an infomercial for me. And I don't know if other educators do this, but I update my lectures. And I add content. So if you buy the big course, if you bought it 8 months ago, it just jumped up from 18 CE to 24, and I didn't charge extra. And the people that already had access, I allowed to have access to that new content. So you're also missing out on updates, corrections. You're just buying a third-party thing.
What legal recourse do you have?
So that's the third part of the story that I kind of stopped on, because then it's like, okay, I got these DMs. I saw this was going on. What did I do next? So, the first thing I did was, I told everyone, hey, report this. I had a bunch of people saying that they reported it. My friend Ollie from, Course Karma reached out to me. You probably know them. And he did a group chat with me and Monty and a couple people, and Implant Ninja. Implant Ninja said he's had like, he had like 30 to 100 people report them. Nothing happened. He also said he sent a cease and desist letter, I think. I went the Instagram route. I told everyone, hey, the best thing you can do is report it, and just share it with other people. And then, I am verified. Actually, my personal trainer told me this. I didn't think to do this. My video froze. Do you still have me?
I can hear you totally, but your video froze, but I'm hearing okay, all cool. The things.
As long as you can hear me, we're good. So it's actually my personal trainer that told me, he was like, hey, you're verified. You know, you can talk to a live human on Instagram. And I was like, really? So I actually got a live human from Instagram on the phone. And when I talked to them, it was very generic. And it was mostly for impersonation. It's like their thing is like bullying and impersonation. It's very weird. So I said, yes, they're impersonating me. They're using my photo without my permission in the ads. That's clear impersonation. On top of which, they stole all the content and all that. So I went through it with them. I sent them links to everything, images. She said, we'll get right on this. We'll get back to you in a few days. I get an email back saying, like, we don't really feel this is impersonation. Basically, if you look at their definition of impersonation, they would essentially have had to have made like an account that was like Dr. Schiffenhaus DMD, like dash, and then used my photo. If they had done that, I could probably get the account taken down. But the fact that their account isn't impersonating me, like the account itself, but they're using my picture and selling my course, apparently does not rise to their definition of impersonation. So the next recourse I had was they apparently have a intellectual property copyright section that you can go complain on Instagram. And it was very thorough. Like it asked a ton. It was like, hey, you know, if this stuff happened, you know, we need actual, you know, web addresses for the images, for the posts, for the content, for your content. So I went through all of it. I went through, you know, this is their site. You can clearly see where they've copied my text. This is where they copied the text from. Here's the image of me. Here's where they copied it from. Here's this, like all of it, like, you know, cool. So I sent it off to them and literally they sent me an email back that was pure gaslighting. They sent me an email back saying, hey, we don't feel like this rises to the level of intellectual theft or copyright, but if you'd like to dispute this, please list all these things that they already asked me to list that I had clearly listed that was quoted at the bottom of the email. It was like a pure gaslight. And the other thing they said is, oh, and by the way, we're going to have to notify the party that you're accusing of copyright infringement. And I was kind of like Chris Tucker from Friday. I'm like, write it down, take a picture. You know, like just, you know, so I don't think they care. My experience with Meta and Instagram, because I had my account taken down 3 years ago randomly. Instagram just took it down. So it's funny, I've been taken down when I had 25,000 followers. And there's other big accounts that that's happened to and they never got it back. Luckily, I was able to use a social media marketing partner who does a lot of business with Instagram to get a live human on the phone, and I got my account back. So my experience with Instagram, Facebook, Meta is they're just too big to deal with anything, and they don't want to get involved in anything. It's all window dressing, whatever departments they have for anything. But as you sort of pointed out, it's insane because today, yesterday I had a screenshot on my phone. I got another fake Monye ad. Like, I mean, my wife gets fake Monye ads, and my wife got fake ads for me. And they're literally making money on ads for pirated content. And, you know, if we were organized enough, I feel like a lot of us could get together and possibly do a class action lawsuit against Instagram because they're facilitating theft. And they've been duly notified about it.
Wow. And so have you brought an attorney in on this? Is there any, you know, recourse beyond what you've done?
No, I'm a little jaded. We had an issue a couple years ago with one of our kids in a hospital, and I brought it to a lawyer I've used in the past. And other than it being like event session, they basically were like, you can't take on a hospital by yourself. Like, you need to get like a ton of people, and you've got to be ready for like a massive lawsuit. So I'm a little jaded on trying to go after big institutions. I don't want to just sort of take it. And I'm a father of two. I like to think I'm a devoted husband. And I run a practice and I run the institute all by myself. I don't know where the extra wiggle room is to take on a crusade like this. And I also don't know at the end of the day how much this is actually hurting my bottom line. I had some people reaching out like, hey, dude, you got like 10 grand of free advertising, because it got my face out there. I mean, everyone's seeing my face. And I think most people smelled a rat. I had way more people reach out to me, go, hey, is this real? Than people go, like, I accidentally bought it. I had like two people that said they accidentally bought it. The majority of everybody goes, this doesn't look real. And then everybody was sort of, making a deal. One of my friends, David Yang, went on two big Facebook groups, or three, and he posted about it, to telling everyone like to be careful about pirated content. And he brought up all the concerns you brought. It's like, one, you're supporting theft. Two, you're not actually getting CE. Three, you could get your own information stolen by giving it for them. So you guys should be careful. So I think for the most part, it's either some people that were never going to pay a couple grand for the content anyway, purchased it knowing it was pirated. A couple people got duped, unfortunately, and I feel bad for them. And then the rest, it was just maybe free advertising. So I don't know. I don't know how much it's hurt me. I don't know how much it hasn't. My sales have shifted from online to in-person, like everybody else's, the further away from the pandemic we've gotten. So luckily for that, this happened now, not 2 years ago. If it happened 2 years ago, it would really just cut my legs off. But now it's not that bad. So I had done a post 3 weeks ago, just doing what we did here, is I was like, hey, it was like 5 days after it happened. Here's everything that's going on. I don't want to appear to be just like going on and on and on about it. And honestly, I just want to move on with my life. So here's the situation. I'm moving on. It was literally within that day, I think you reached out to do the podcast, which I think is a good idea because it brings more awareness to people about the situation, so they can avoid getting their stuff stolen or know that there's fake ads out there. But it is something that I'm just sort of trying to move forward from. I had somebody try to troll me saying that, you know, well, this sort of pity pot thing is good for marketing or something, which is not what I'm doing. But at the same time, everybody was talking about me for a week, and here I am doing a podcast. So it got a lot of coverage to me. So maybe it was a net positive. It could never be a net positive. It's a dirty thing. It's like, I don't know, getting like beaten and mugged, and then you get to become famous. You still got beaten and mugged. That's not a good thing.
No, it's a true story. But life happens. And I like, you know, your outlook on it now is, hey, here we are. What do we do? And also the, you know, looking out for the rest of the people and giving their information away, I think is so critical and so key for people to understand that, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah. And I don't know, it's like the class action lawsuit thing. I just don't see the other educators necessarily rallying around. I've only talked to a few. Others really haven't gotten back. And I don't think anyone's really trying to pursue a ton of legal action. I think a lot of people are just sort of trying to move forward. And I'm not saying that's necessarily the right thing. I mean, you know, worst things in the world happen because good people do nothing, right? But at the same time, you know, I don't think this is something I could do on my own. And I haven't really gotten a lot of feedback from other educators that they're really passionate about us all pulling together to get a lawyer. I still haven't contacted the AGD, which I probably will do, because I think they'd have something really strong to say about someone misusing their logo. I know that I had on one of my pages, like, their old logo, and they sent me this generic email, which is like, very legally worded, like, you must change this or we will take legal action and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like an approved, you know, accredited entity. So I don't know how they'd feel about this. And I think they'd probably take it very seriously. So that's on my to-do list. I don't know if anyone else has thought of that to bring it to their attention, and maybe they'll use their lawyers and go after them. But yeah, that's where we're at.
Wow. To educate consumers out there, how do they know that what they're getting from you specifically is legit? So should they go to your website? Should they try to find you at major dental meetings and shows like that? Like, what's the best way for people to know that they're putting their money in a safe place and getting the education that they're signing up for?
So I put a post out there to address this. I'm not expecting everyone to get it. And what I said was this: I am the only person that sells the Bard Institute courses. So if you want to purchase a Bard Institute course, you literally have to go to a website that says thebardinstitute.com. I have a, you know, there's like a site called Teachable. I have one called Podia that my online stuff is on. So you can navigate to that from the Bard Institute, or just go to bardinstitutepodia.com. But unless it's coming from me with my blue check marks, at least that one thing comes in handy. Unless you see it coming from me or the Bard Institute, no one else has third-party rights to my content. Not all educators are that way. Some educators have third parties sell their courses, so that might be a little harder to navigate. And it's one reason I'm glad I've never gone third-party. I've had some people ask me to record a couple lectures for their group, and I've always been sort of like, no, the only place to get the content from is from me. You know, like a Rolex authorized dealer. You know, there's certain products you can only get from the source. And that's how we're going to stick with the Bard Institute. You can only get it from me. So if you see some sort of ad, unless it's from my Facebook page, the Bard Institute, or my Instagram account, if it's not me or the Bard Institute, it is a Fugazi or a Fugazi. It's a Woozy. It's a Wazi. Very best.
Wow. Well, thank you for that. That's really interesting. So where can people follow you?
Oh, cool. So at Dr. Schiffenhaus DMD on Instagram is probably the best place. And the Bard Institute on Instagram is sort of my secondary page. I would do at Dr. Schiffenhaus DMD for Instagram. You're like, wow, that is a tough last name to remember. Just start typing Dr. SCH and it'll be the first thing that comes up. I have a lot of followers. I post cases. I do live videos for educational purposes. It's a really great place. I give away a ton of stuff for free. I've always said that the purpose of the Institute and the courses is so you have an organized way to get all the information that's very teachable and learnable. But if you wanted to do the budget option, you just run through all my cases and all my Instagram lives, and you'll essentially get the education, but it'll be very scattered. I'm an open book. DM me anytime. If it gets beyond more than a couple complex questions, I'm going to invite you to take the course or jump on a live or something like that. And it's not because you have to pay. It's because I have, you know, 20 people messaging me a day, and I can't keep up with all of it. And that's what the courses are for.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for, you know, like, it's the same thing. Like, you talk about having an organized place to put things. You know, I saw it. I saw some posts, like I saw like things back and forth, and I was like, nope, we need to like get the story and get what's going on and hear what is happening in the world of CE. I mean, to be honest with you, I feel like people are like, oh, can we record your lecture? I'm like, I don't care. Do what you got to do. And I mean, I realize now that that's really probably a little too cavalier an attitude, especially with what could happen with your intellectual property. So I really appreciate you for sharing your story.
Yeah. I don't know how hard against time we are, but it was funny because somebody in the comments on this was saying like, well, you know, not everyone's content's original. You know, everybody had to learn from someone. We're like, no. We're not talking about like, you know, someone's teaching someone else's technique. This is the dental equivalent of someone stood in the back of the theater with a camcorder and recorded the movie and is now selling the movie. That And that's what the thing is, the most mind-blowing thing that you brought up is that explaining this to like friends and family, I didn't want to talk to them about it because like some people would, because it was right around the holidays, they're like, oh, did you hear what's going on with Steve? I'm like, you guys don't even realize what a weird world this dental CEs thing is that like, I guess I'm popular enough that they did a $10,000 ad campaign for my stolen content. Like, it's just nuts. It's a weird world. And like you said, I guess, you know, it was a good thing we got on here to just sort of let everybody know that there's this thing going on that's incredible. Like, you would think that dentistry is such a niche market that this stuff wouldn't happen, but apparently it's a lot bigger market than we all thought because it invited this kind of behavior. So I think that was the other eye-opening thing is that apparently this is quite a lucrative market because it's attracted now, you know, mafia-style truck robbers.
Lock your truck, friends. Lock your truck. No. I love it. Well, Steve, super appreciate you being here. Pam, how does 30 minutes fly by so fast every week?
I don't know. I tell you, there's lots of things I do for 30 minutes or longer that I wish went by as quickly as these. Because, gosh, this is awesome. So, Steve, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll love to have you on again. Talk about happier things. Talk about, you know, what you're doing.
I'd love to talk about dentistry. I love the dentistry. Like when I do a lecture, there's like a slide about me. I'm like, can we get through this quick so we could talk about the dentistry? I always open every lecture. I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about the dentistry because I freaking love it. And I just want to make sure I say thank you so much. This was so kind and so sweet for you guys to be like, hey, we need to get them on here and tell this story. As much as I wanted to move past it and not talk about it, as you said, it's important. And really, I'm really honored and touched that you guys wanted to have me on. So thank you.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome. And definitely we'll have to do this again under different circumstances. So, all right. Thanks for joining us. David, as always, amazing. And I'll see you all next week for Dentistry Unmasked. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Cheers, guys. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening to the show this week. And thanks to our guests and sponsors on this episode.
Please check out our social media at Dr. Pamela_Maragliano and at Dental Economics Official.
Or you can check me out at Ignite DDS or at Dr. David Rice.
And go to dentaleconomics.com to receive dental economics. You can choose to receive DE in print or digitally, and you can also get the details of our Principles of Practice Management Conference on our website.
If you have topics or guests or anything you'd like to talk about on the show, send us an email to dentistryunmaskedpodcast@gmail.com, and we will do our very best to make it happen. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.